Blog Talk Radio.
Tonight, 40 of the top WCW wrestlers will be picked at random to wrestle in a unique tag team format. Then the winners advance to the Battle Bowl, where only one man stands as the winner in Starrcade 91, the Lethal Lottery.
Schiavone at ringside, and Tony, the wrestlers must win their tag team matchup to advance to Battle Bowl, and then Battle Bowl is a whole new endeavor.
Battle Bowl is a two-ring battle royal, and the 20 surviving men from the tag team matches, of course they're at random drawing, will go into one ring. The idea is to dump them over to the next ring, and then dump them into the floor. There'll be one man left in ring one, one man left in ring two. At the end of the night, one man will be the Battle Bowl champion.
Fans, it's going to be something. We're really looking forward to the Lethal Lottery.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Pro Wrestling Flashback. It's actually a special edition of Pro Wrestling Flashback. I am Sinbad, of course, and I'm joined by Katrair. How are you doing, Katrair?
I'm doing fine. How are you?
Good, good, good. So they explain the rules, Mr. Schiavone and Mr. Jim Ross. They explain the rules of Battle Bowl. See, what we're going to do tonight, so, it was actually, I don't know, either my idea or Katrair's idea. I believe it was Katrair. Where we would draw the names, and Katrair sent me a list, and I wrote down a bunch of names. I put them in a little basket here, and I can't see. I have no idea who is going to be picked and who is going to be on what team. And we have the roster from 1991 WCW, the late 1991 WCW, I should say. And, you know, how do you want to do this? We're just going to do 10 matches, right?
Yeah, do you want to pick the teams and the matches, or do you want to wait to get all the matches booked and then book the finishes, or just book the finishes as we go?
Well, I think we should get all the matches set before we book the finishes. We got to know
okay, that's cool.
Who is where? So let's go ahead and start with this.
Real quick, I did something with the names. You remember in 91, it was supposed to be the Diamond Stud, but he was injured and replaced by the Night Stalker in one of the matches. So I just threw out the Night Stalker and left Diamond Stud in because we probably have a better match.
Of course. Of course you would. Why would you not?
Yeah.
Gosh, I'm super, super, super excited for this. So...
we're either going to come up with a good card or, I don't know, Thomas Rich may win the Battle Bowl. Who knows?
See, the whole thing about this is Battle Bowl was made to look random, but it wasn't really. It wasn't really random. They just made it look that way. And some of the matches that they came up with, they didn't really put much thought into. So what we're going to do is we're not going to put any thought into it. So how many names have we drawn, Katrair?
You need me to write down all these matches because we forget.
Yeah, if you can, that'd
okay.
be great. Because
let me get my
I just realized my laptop. I don't have the charger in here with me, in the quiet room, and I have about 38 minutes left on my laptop. So
okay.
Let's go ahead and start this.
I got my little notepad on my computer here. So let's go.
All right, match number one. We have Scott Steiner. And Scott Steiner is going to be teaming with Terry Taylor. that's a fun
good team.
Yeah, that actually would be a decent team. And their opponents are going to be Lex Luger. And his partner is going to be... Marcus Bagwell.
That's not bad.
that what, See, at that era, I didn't mind Marcus Bagwell that much. See, this was right after Marcus Bagwell has his WCW Rookie of the Year. He had won that through WCW Magazine, which was just kind of their way of pushing Marcus Bagwell as their, you know, good mid-card guy. He's a solid hand type of guy. And so that's a pretty good match. I mean, all of them can work decently, so I don't know. All right, so let's go to the next match. We've got Sergeant Buddy Lee Parker teaming up with PN News.
Now that's a
There's
team.
A team for you.
So there's a team.
Two people I think nobody liked in WCW.
No. Yo, baby. And PN News was potentially the worst rapper in the history of any sort of, like, fake rapping television ever. And their opponents are Todd Champion. I believe we have our pay-per-view opener here. Todd Champion and Rick Steiner.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
So there's.
I have a feeling I know which team is going to win that match, but we'll go on.
Yes, yeah. Already, we already know. The wheels are already rolling for me. All right, next match we have Jushin Thunder Liger. And Jushin Liger didn't come for all the WCW events, he only came for some of them. And this was one of them.
Yeah, this was his first tour in America, I believe.
Yes. And. Gosh, man, Jushin Liger was awesome. He had a series of matches with Brian Pillman that were almost always good.
Yeah.
So, Jushin Liger is teaming up with Ricky Steamboat. That's a good team.
Yeah.
That's awesome. And their opponents are Arn Anderson and. Sorry, I'm holding this. Invader.
Wow, that's a heck of a match.
That is a heck of a match. Gosh, I wish we could, like, I wish this was real. You know what I mean? We could actually see this shit. So, all right, next up on our list is going to be Tracy Smothers, the wide-eyed Southern boy, teaming up with Cactus Jack. That's a fun team.
Yeah.
And their opponents, Van Hammer, which is kind of interesting because we could go into that with a match, but they were feuding at the time, Cactus Jack and Van Hammer.
Yeah, Cactus Jack had just given Hammer his first pinfall loss at the Clash of the Champions the month before, I believe.
Yes. And the Diamond Stud is going to be Van Hammer's partner.
That's a decent match, except for Van Hammer. I mean, everybody else is pretty good.
Yeah. All right. Well, time for us to shit the bed. I just drew Bill Kazmaier for the next match. Bill Kazmaier is teaming up with Jimmy Garvin.
Poor Jimmy.
Jimmy Garvin was with the Freebirds at the time, right? The new version of the Freebirds.
Yeah.
And
the Freebirds, yeah.
Yes. And they are going to be wrestling against Firebreaker Chip. And Ron Simmons.
Oh, gosh.
Firebreaker Chip was, he teamed with Todd Champion. Did I draw Todd Champion already?
Yeah, you drew him. He and Rick Steiner are teammates.
Todd Champion and Firebreaker Chip, what was their team called?
The WCW Special Forces, the Patriots.
The WCW Special Forces. And they were like as jobber of a tag team as you get, but they would win on occasion.
I was appalled when they beat the Freebirds for the U.S. tag titles.
Yeah, that is appalling. But they were just trying to push a young babyface team, and that's what they were. All right, next match. There we go. Freebird Michael Hayes Freebird Michael Hayes is teaming up with Tom Zink, the Z-Man.
Hmm.
That's not too bad of a team.
Nah, that's a pretty good team.
Their opponents, Abdul the Butcher.
Oh, God,
things aren't looking good for them. And Big Josh.
Big Josh.
I was a huge fan of Big Josh. And
he was a
good
worker.
Yeah, he was. He really was. And as you know, I'm like an avid toy collector, okay? I love collecting wrestling toys. What I've been on the look out for the past, like, month or two is there's these Gloob. Gloob is who put out the original WCW toys. I don't know if you remember seeing them, like, in about 1991, where they were probably 4 inches tall, maybe 4.5 inches tall, and the WWF toys, they moved, their arms moved. But the Gloob toys, they didn't at all. They were just like...
Those are the big rubber ones, like the original WWF toys?
They weren't big, though. They were small. They were like 4.5 inches, so they were pretty small. And like, I remember the first series. I had all the first series. It was like Ron Simmons, Butch Reed, Barry Windham, Ric Flair, Arn Anderson, Lex Luger, Sting, and the I don't know if I said the Steiners, but the Steiners were in there too. And I had the whole series. But then there was a second series that they only released in the UK. And the second series is what I've been looking for like forever. It has like Dustin Rhodes and Big Josh, and Big Josh comes with a, you know, board or whatever. I don't know. I've been looking for that. I can't wait to have it. So that's why I mentioned that, just based off of Big Josh. All right, we got another match, right?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Thomas Rich. This is when Tommy Rich went with the York Foundation, and he was known as Thomas Rich, and he was managed by
Alexander
York. Who
I think this is right around the end of the York Foundation, like right after the show.
Yeah. Yes, I believe it was. Thomas Rich is teaming up with, speaking of, Marlena, Dustin Rhodes. Mm-hmm. Dustin Rhodes teaming up with Thomas Rich. That's a good team. That really is a good team.
Yeah.
Against Johnny B. Badd. This could end up being a hell of a match right here, sure. And beautiful Bobby Eaton. That would be, like, possibly a show stealer. That's a hell of a match. What is that match again? Name all the participants.
Tommy Rich and Dustin Rhodes against Johnny B. Badd and beautiful Bobby.
That'd be a show stealer. All right. How many matches do we have now?
We got 7.
7 matches, so we got 3 more. Okay.
Yeah.
Larry Zbyszko, the Cruncher at the time, the Cruncher Larry Zbyszko, teaming up with Brian Pillman, Flying Brian, and they're going up against Sting. That's interesting.
And Sinbad has dropped off the radar. Let's wait and see if he comes back, because I can't do any drawing, so. Are you back?
Yes, I'm sorry.
Satellite went down.
Yes, my radio satellite went down. I have no idea. I guess I go on a bit of a rant real fast.
Okay.
I have Sprint in the past like week or two. I've been dropping calls like crazy. I have no idea why. Like, it's just out of nowhere. It's just the signal faded and boom, gone. I'm in the same spot as where I was.
Or are you just on your cell phone?
Yeah, I'm on my cell phone.
Okay.
But we are actually buying, like, we actually have a house phone line here. We just don't have house phones. We just never plugged it in. I don't know why. We just haven't.
A lot of people don't have house phones these days, probably. Let's say we just use cell phones. That's good.
But we have the line. Like, we have the line here. It came with our Comcast. We just never use it. All right. Mike Graham. Mike Graham, the innovator of wrestling, Mike Graham, teaming up with Richard Morton.
Wait. Who was Sting's partner? I think you dropped off when you said that when you were about to name Sting's partner.
Oh, I'm sorry. Let me look. Oh, Steve Austin.
Oh, okay. That's a good little match.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And then the new team, we have Mike Graham and Richard Morton.
Okay.
Okay. Their opponent,
Richard Morton defeated Mike Graham to go to the finals of the light heavyweight title tournament.
Oh, this is going to be shitty. DDP and El Conte.
Elegante?
Yes. This could possibly be worse than the actual original Mike Graham match that they had.
Oh, gosh. This could be pretty awful.
Yes,
DDP was pretty bad back then, but I don't know. Ricky Morton, I believe he has his working shoes on.
Yes, definitely. All right, Steve Armstrong and Arachnoman.
Brother team.
Do you like me? Huh?
Brother team.
Yeah, yeah. Versus Mr. Hughes. We're getting down to the nitty-gritty here, Couture. And Rick Rude.
That's actually a pretty decent match.
And that is it. That is it. That's all the names we have.
Let's see. Yep.
All right. All right. Let's start. Okay.
I'm trying to decide if we may have a little bit of a better matchup than we did there at the actual show here.
Go ahead and do the rundown real fast.
Scott Steiner and Terry Taylor against Lex Luger and Marcus Bagwell.
Okay.
Buddy Lee Parker and P and Nose against Champion and Rick Steiner. Arn Anderson and Big Van Vader against Freaky Steamboat and Jushin Thunder Liger.
That's awesome.
Tracy Smothers and Cactus Jack against Van Hammer and the Diamond Stud. Bill Kazmaier and Jimmy Jam Garvin against Firebreaker Chip and Ron Simmons. Michael P.S. Hayes and Z-Man against Abdullah the Butcher and Big Josh. Tommy Rich and Dustin Rhodes against Johnny B. Badd and Beautiful Bobby Eaton. Larry Zbysko and Brian Pillman against Sting and Stunning Steve Austin. Mike Graham and Richard Morton against DDP and Elegante. And Steve Armstrong and Arachnoman against Mr. Hughes and Ravishing Rick Rude.
Oh, see, this is like a solid card.
Yeah.
It really does.
I think maybe it's only like one or two, only like, let's see, Pillman and Sting on the original show ended up on the same side. I mean, on the opposite sides, you know, in the match. I'm trying to see who else. Mike Graham and DDP. No, they were teammates, but they're opposing each other here.
Mm. Yes.
Okay, so let's go back to the first matchup.
Okay.
Let's see how we want to position these matches. I'm trying to see which one would be the best to start with to kind of get the gimmick over. I don't know. I'll just start with Scott Steiner and Terry Taylor against Lex Luger and Marcus Bagwell.
All right. The way I would see it going,
Luger has to win.
Yeah, Luger would have to win. Luger's the heel. Luger's the current world champion. So, Luger would have to go over on, I would say, Scott Steiner. Because
I would say Terry Taylor, because Scott Steiner's just coming off his injury, so they're not going to make him do a job.
But Terry Taylor's a heel.
Yeah, well, Luger had Terry Taylor in the match on the actual pay-per-view.
Did he really?
Yeah. It was Luger and Arn Anderson against Terry Taylor and Z-Man. Actually, it was the best match on the show.
All right, then yeah, we could go that way. I was just thinking, I just didn't know where they were going. I guess Terry Taylor was going absolutely nowhere. So yeah, that's fine. That's fine. So go ahead and write that down. Luger's winning. So Luger and Marcus Bagwell advance.
Yeah.
Okay.
We go to Buddy Lee Parker and Pee and Nose against Todd Champion and Rick Steiner.
Rick Steiner is going
to... Rick Steiner has to go over in this one. It's just common sense right there.
Yeah, just common sense. And Rick Steiner can get the win over either of them. It doesn't matter. It just depends on what, you know, probably not Pee and Nose because Pee and Nose they were kind of using at the time.
Although the only better thing at the actual pay-per-view was when Buddy Lee Parker got the crap beat out of him by Abdullah and his crawl to the ring got hit by a flying body press.
Yes, that was awesome. That was tremendous. So,
The next match is Jushin Thunder Liger and Ricky Steamboat against Arn Anderson and Big Van Vader. This is a tough one.
Yes, but...
I kind of think Reed Steamboat and Liger should go in just because, you know, both of them are new to the company. Ricky Steamboat just returned, and Liger won the light heavyweight title, like, the week before.
And they could do a thing where, because it was, who's Vader teaming with?
Arn Anderson.
They could do a thing where Jushin Liger jumps off onto Vader outside, you know what I mean? Like, just jumps off on him so Vader doesn't have to look bad, you know what I mean? And Ricky Steamboat can hit Arn Anderson with a flying body press. So, yeah, that's fine. That would be fine. I mean, I love Vader, but Ricky Steamboat and Liger, they should win because they're very new to the company. And Vader wasn't yet...
He wasn't the monster that he would be the next year at this point.
Yes, he was just...
He was teaming with Mr. Hughes against the Steiners and stuff like that, so not a big deal. He doesn't go in.
Yes, exactly.
Tracy Smothers and Cactus Jack versus Van Hammer and the Diamond Stud. Just common sense tells me Cactus Jack should be in there.
Because
he's really the one getting the most push out of all these guys, and they're just beating Van Hammer, so...
Yeah, he could be. Yeah, the only thing I'm concerned with is they were pushing Van Hammer, kind of. But yeah, like he'd be Van Hammer, but it wouldn't be clean. There's no way it could be clean.
Yeah, and Van Hammer lost on the actual original pay per view, so that's fine.
That is fine.
Okay, now we have Bill Kazmaier and Jimmy Jam Garvin versus Chip and Ron Simmons.
Ron Simmons, Jimmy Jam Garvin. On Jimmy Jam Garvin. On Jimmy Jam Garvin, for sure.
Yeah.
Just because that's just the whole... Because he wouldn't... They would do a thing in the match, I'm sure, of like Bill Kazmaier and Ron Simmons doing tie-ups. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like to see who's stronger. It'd be horrible, though. It would be really bad.
We have Michael Hayes and the Z-Man against Abdullah the Butcher and Big Josh. I put Big Josh over.
Well, of course, because Big Josh was getting pushed a little bit. Not really, but a little. He wasn't losing. And Abdullah, of course, he had just gone there full time at that point. Like, he just got there a couple months
before.
But
you could have him and, you know, they were doing the breakup angle with him and Cactus at that point. They could do something in the Battle Royal, so.
Yes, exactly.
Tommy Rich and Dustin Rhodes against Johnny B. Badd and Beautiful Bobby Eaton. I don't know about this
Dustin,
one.
I do. It would definitely be Dustin Rhodes. It would definitely be Dustin Rhodes pinning Beautiful Bob.
Okay. That works for me.
I mean, how else would you do it?
I think you could... Yeah, you know, I don't guess who wanted him beating Johnny B. Badd at that point. Badd was still getting pretty good push, and he just turned babyface, so. Yeah, that's fine.
If it's, he could be outside or you know, something could happen. It doesn't matter. Or because he just turned babyface, Bobby Eaton could get mad at him or something, and he could punch him out, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, that would work, too. And maybe Tommy Rich could take advantage of it since he was a heel and Dustin Wynn.
Yeah.
Something like that, probably.
Yeah, good.
Next, we have Larry Zbysko and Brian Pillman versus Sting and Steve Austin. No-brainer here for me. Sting and Steve Austin.
I mean, obviously, Brian Pillman. Well, hang on, what? I'm joking. Yeah, Sting and Steve Austin. It would have to be something where Steve Austin steals the win.
Yeah, I could see that.
I mean, maybe Sting could, you know, be winning the match and then Steve Austin could sneak a tag and roll someone up or something.
Yeah.
Steve Austin was really good at the time.
Yeah, I mean, this was just, I think, like 2 years into his career. And, people like Bischoff said, nobody saw anything in Steve Austin at this point. I said, that's bullshit. Everybody
is bullshit.
Talking about how great he was at this point, you know?
Yeah,
probably one of the best TV champions they ever had.
Well, yeah.
Then we have the
dream
match.
He got there. Remember that?
Say what?
He got that title right when he got there.
It was funny because they were doing those videos saying, here's the newcomers coming to WCW, and they show this video of Steve Austin. He opens his robe. He's got the TV title belt. I said, all I know is coming up here, you know?
Yeah.
And he beat Beautiful Bobby. He actually beat him twice for the TV title because they fucked the match up first time so bad that they had to come back and do it a second time. I don't know what happened. So
I did not know that. That's something I'm learning for the first time.
Yeah, I think
that's awesome,
though. Observers from 92 go back around that time around. I think it was like end of May or June, and it has the story in there about that. But, yeah, he won the TV title, I think, like 15 days after he showed up.
That's insane. It kind of
sucked. Bobby Eaton had spent all those months trying to win the TV title, and he finally did and lost it. So.
But the whole thing with Bobby was just the chase. You know, no one wanted to see. I mean, as good as he was, no one wanted to see that. No one cared about him being the babyface champion. No one cared.
Yeah, he's better as a heel in a tag team.
Of course. Of course.
The Dream Partner tag team match. We have Mike Graham and Richard Morton against DDP and Elegante.
And the whole thing it would have to be Elegante winning on Mike Graham or whoever. It doesn't matter. Because
I could see DDP getting wise with Elegante and then Elegante like giving him the claw or something. That's what he did.
Who do
we win? When they teamed in the first pay per view.
Yeah.
I'm just not a fan of Mike Graham being in the Battle Bowl, but whatever.
All right, read that scene one more time.
Mike Graham and Richard Morton is DDP and Elegante. Fuck it.
Yeah,
put DDP and Elegante in the Battle Bowl.
Yes. That's who belongs in.
And you can do a gimmick where Elegante can't speak English, so he didn't know the rules, and so he eliminates himself or something because he's stupid.
Well, or someone can eliminate him. Who cares?
Next match is Steve Armstrong teaming with the Rackna Man, who, of course, was his brother Brad Armstrong, against Mr. Hughes and Rick Rude. Mr. Hughes was pretty decent as a big guy at this time.
He was.
Yeah. Rick Rude was very good, so, and the other two, obviously. So, obviously, I think you got to go with having Rick Rude in the Battle Bowl, because he had just got there, he just won the U.S. title, formed the Dangerous Alliance, and all that stuff.
Yes. Rick Rude, for sure should win, because Mr. Hughes was such a solid heel, you know?
Yeah.
I'm a big fan of that. Is that the last match?
Yeah, that's the last match.
All right, so who are our participants?
See, we have Marcus Bagwell and Lex Luger. Steiner and Todd Champion. Jushin Liger and Ricky Steamboat.
Okay.
Tracy Tracy Smothers and Cactus Jack. Fightbreaker Chip and Ron Simmons. Abdullah the Butcher and Big Josh. We said Tommy Rich and Dustin Rhodes won, or yeah, Tommy Rich and Dustin Rhodes won.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
And Sting and Steve Austin. DDP and Elegante and Mr. Hughes against Ravishing Rick Rude.
All right. So,
and to me going into this, it just makes sense to me for it to end the same way the pay per view did with Sting beating Luger.
You think?
You have to set up the title match for the next pay per view.
I'm just so not a fan of Sting. I never saw anything in him. I would not go with Sting. But I mean, I see, because there's different roads we could take.
Here's a good swerve. Sting and Luger, have Rick Rude win the first ring, and then Sting and Luger are the two guys in the second ring, and they do all the stuff, and Sting eliminates Luger. It's down to Sting and Rude, but then Luger helps Rick Rude eliminate Sting, so you know you still have the dominance of the Dangerous Alliance. You have a hot heel winning, and it still furthers the Sting Luger thing.
It would still further that.
And then they can end the show, you know, do like Sting and Nikita did and brawl out in the parking lot or something.
Here's how I would do it. I would go with Luger. I would definitely go with Luger getting eliminated by Rick Rude. But the way I would do it is Lex Luger was going to be off TV until the pay-per-view where he defended the title, okay?
Yeah.
I would have Luger and the Dangerous Alliance just beat the shit out of him. Like, you know, all of them come out and just destroy Lex Luger, and then take him out. So Luger... You could have turned Luger back face anyways, because it doesn't matter, he'd be losing anyways. So, and then Sting could come to, you know, Luger's aid in a way, so that could keep the feud with Luger going, or with Rick Rude going, and then Sting could be the contender for Rick Rude when Rick Rude wins the title. Because Sting didn't need the title then, and Rick Rude could have really used it then.
Yeah, because Rick Rude had just won the U.S. title, so... I don't know about
Yeah, I got. Oh, gosh, I wish they knew Steve Austin was ready even then in 91. I wish they knew it.
Yeah, if it was anybody else that I would have said with Steve Austin, have him win just for the Dangerous Alliance thing and, you know, to just give him that big win, big boost in credibility.
Yes, because you don't even need to go after the title. Could have been, it could be Rick Rude or Steve Austin, and as long as Luger helps them, eliminate Sting, you know, that would be fine. Because then they win, they're the badass of Battle Bowl, and it doesn't need to lead to the title match. It just means that, hey, I'm getting a push. Just because, the year, because that was a 91 one that he won, right?
Yeah.
And then 92, it was Muda, right?
Yeah, that's right.
God, I loved that. What did you think of Muda?
I love Muda. He's you know, they've never really pushed any Japanese in the United States that they pushed him before. I mean, even if they did, it was some shitty salt-throwing Japanese guy or something like that. You know what I mean?
No, I know what you're talking about.
It was one with actual skill. I mean... Great Kabuki couldn't do nothing but a shot to the throat and spray the mist and stuff like that. Muda could have gotten over as big as a babyface as Sting if they wanted to.
Oh, of course. Of course. And you know how he did the moonsault? I actually always used to think they called it the mood salt. Because Jim Ross would always say, the mood salt. And I used to always think it was called the mood salt, like Great Muda. I always thought that when I was a kid, because the only person that had ever said anything about it was Jim Ross. I didn't know any better. Okay, cool. You know,
it was in later years when I came a little bit smarter and saw some of those old Moto matches from 89. That moonsault, it just looked like he landed his fingers across the dude's chest when he landed. Didn't look like he hit much on some of them.
Really?
Yeah. It just looked like he kind of just grazed them. But back then, it didn't matter, you know. It just mattered how it looked. But it was okay.
I remember, do you remember the match with Barry Windham? I'm sure I've talked about it on this show before. Fuck. That match
That's
is so
awesome.
That's
the Super Bowl 3 match?
Yes. Yes, gosh, I always loved that DDT that it's kind of like the implant one that Edge would eventually do.
Yeah,
but
it was the implant DDT that Barry Windham did.
Yes, yes. Barry Windham was awesome. I mean, just so awesome.
Yeah, I've been watching a lot of 88 because I'm putting a lot of stuff on DVD, and it's like Barry Windham's first heel turn against Lex Luger, and he's going against Dusty Rhodes and all that stuff is awesome.
All right, I know Barry Windham's one of your favorites. Do you think he's better than Flair for a while?
Do I think he was better than Flair? There were maybe like a year or two there where I thought he was better. If he would have had the charisma and stuff like Flair, he would have been better all around. He just was missing as like charisma, and he wasn't very consistent. Sometimes he would just, like Arn Anderson said one time, if he's got 10 grand in the bank, he's got a Corvette and a pretty woman, you won't see him for like 6 months. He kind of does his own thing.
Yeah, because he had his money. He had, a sexy lady. He had, a nice vehicle.
That hurt his career was when he kind of dropped off the radar when his father and brother got pinched for counterfeiting. You remember that?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And,
I remember.
He kind of took himself out of the scene for a while because of, I guess he didn't want it to reflect bad on any of the company. He was with WWF at the time. He said, well, I'll just take myself out for a while because it doesn't need any headaches, like with it being connected to the company or to WWF or anything. So that's kind of why he was gone for a while.
Yeah.
And then I think he had weight problems, too, that kind of hurt him later on. So
he did. He blew up a bit. I mean, that stuff like that just sucks, It's just, maybe he had an injury or something like that. And you hear stuff like that all the time where someone has an injury.
When he came back at that Slamboree 94, he was freaking huge. As the mystery guy?
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
remember he blew his knee out in that match with Flair. He blew his knee out in that match with Flair. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
They were leading people to think that was
Hogan.
That was Hogan. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
I'm sure Hogan's going to come in non-advertised.
Yeah, there's a whole storyline where they said someone was 6'6" and blonde former world champion was coming in to challenge Ric Flair for the WCW title. And
do you remember the night before? There was some sort of a tag match on Saturday night the night before, and the mystery guy came in. You remember he had the bad street mask on, and you could tell it was Barry Windham just the way he threw his punches and stuff?
Yes. But the thing is, before that, I thought it was Hogan. I swear. I was young and an idiot. I didn't know. In 93, I was 10.
Windham in 93 during that match with Flair at Beach Blast. I don't know if anybody ever saw it, but I think he blew his knee out there and actually went right to the finish in that match. And that's why he was out for a long time. And then he came back. He must have been over 300 pounds. He was fat.
And the thing is, they made him come back, too. He didn't want to because he wanted to wait out his contract. He didn't care anymore. He was done with wrestling, and gosh, it's so heartbreaking because even when he was fat, he was still pretty good. I mean, he's still better than most,
Yeah.
Even being fat and not caring, he was still better than most. Oh, that kills me. That kills me.
I like the tag team with Bradshaw, the Blackjacks. I thought that was pretty decent.
Yes. Yes. I honestly think that is like the exact perfect type of body shape that I like in a wrestler. And as freaking ridiculous as it is, I think that's like the perfect size. And like, yes, big guys, blah, blah, blah. But like the Barry Windham, like Dustin Rhodes, Scott Hall, all those guys are like essentially like the same size. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And they were all so Bradshaw. Like first Bradshaw had his limitations, but I mean he's nowhere near as good as those other guys that we mentioned. But gosh, I loved that type of wrestler. You know what I mean? That's why I was like when Drew McIntyre was really starting to get his push. That's why I was so into him because like he's that like you know what I mean? He's a pretty big dude, and mm-hmm. you know pretty smooth for his size. I'm a Drew McIntyre fan actually. I think he's pretty good, but like. It bums me out that, you know, all those guys. No, it's also every single one of those guys I mentioned, with the exception of Drew, they all had substance abuse problems.
Yeah.
Maybe being 6'6" and 280 pounds is just a bad thing. It's a bad thing in wrestling to be. We've never really gone over this, so what was it that, like, kept you a fan, Couture? Like, what was the stuff, like, in wrestling? Like, who was your type of wrestler that you were really into?
Like, I've always been more into, like, the Southern style, you know, like Crockett Promotions, you know, like your Arn Anderson, Cody Blanchard's, Rock and Roll Express, you know, Dusty Rhodes, all those kinds of guys, like in the, I mean, I still, my favorite point is like the mid 80s to like the early 90s, NWA, WCW. That's still my favorite wrestling of all time.
Oh.
And they still had all the great work rate wrestlers and stuff like that.
Yep.
The match quality was awesome.
No matter what it was.
Yeah.
No matter, like, we've gone over WCW Saturday Night, and like, remember there was that point where it turned. Where WCW Saturday Night went from being all matches of substance, kind of like, you know how on Raw now, I mean, there'll be 3 minutes, but they won't have a jobber there. It'll still be like, you know, Santino versus, you know, so Santino will be the jobber, or Drew
yeah.
McIntyre will be the jobber.
The jobbers today are guys that they actually have characters for. They're just not doing that
yeah.
much with.
Yes, and WCW... They had that, but they did it so much better. They just did it so much better. Like, there would just be lower card guys on WCW Saturday Night that would have a hell of a net. Like, Brad Armstrong? Brad
yeah.
Armstrong was a jobber, but he was better than most. He was better than most of the roster, and he was so good. He was so, and, God, Arachnaman? What a horrible, horrible, horrible gimmick. I remember I rented that Battle Bowl with... a couple of my cousins, and it was so funny because when Arachnaman came out, they really made fun of, because they were like a couple years older than me, you know, 3 or 4 years old, and they're like, Arachnaman, really? Like, they don't think they're going to get sued for this? Because it really
well,
was
I think
a
that's why he's not doing it.
Yeah, well, obviously, I mean, Arachnaman, and I mean, it was a good idea on paper, but like, so is, you know, the Ninja Turtle that they did in Memphis, or Super Mario. Memphis did a lot of that.
Yeah, man, nobody of any importance ever saw Memphis to get them to stop doing
yeah.
it.
Yeah, exactly. Have you ever seen any of those Memphis TV shows? Like, have you ever, like, seen, like a bunch of them?
Yeah, actually, you know, I was just the last couple of months, because, you know, I've got Xbox 360, and they got a YouTube application on there, so I can watch all that
okay.
stuff on my TV now. So
yeah.
I can just go like I can go on my computer and just like subscribe to a bunch of channels and stuff and it'll be up on my TV. I can just watch that. So
I've
been able
great.
To see a lot of that stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, because YouTube like changed the time limits, so there's like full episodes of WCW Saturday Night on there too now. And
yeah.
That's insane because there was a point in time where that was, you know, you'd get 5 minutes maybe. You know, looking up that stuff on YouTube. It's just great how people have no excuse not to look into WCW. I mean, unless you don't have any time, I guess. But I'm telling everybody, look into 1988 or maybe 87, 86 even, NWA, 85. WCW. Yeah, 85 through, like, 1993. Like, even early 94, like, before the Hogan era, before Hogan got there and ruined it, look up that WCW, and it's awesome. It is just so great. Like, remember in WCW when they had that, it was on Saturday night, and they had that TV title tournament? I think Paul Orndorff eventually won. Was it Paul Orndorff that won the title?
Yeah, was that when they had the two different conferences or something?
Yes.
They had the Anderson Conference and the Mr. Wrestling 2 Conference.
Yeah, that was so great.
It ended up with Eric Watts and Paul Orndorff.
Yes, and Paul Orndorff won.
Yeah.
And Eric Watts and Paul Orndorff had a hell of a match, too, in the finals. Eric Watts, as bad as he was, he could be carried to a decent match. And
yeah.
He could also, like, you know, some wrestlers would try working longer matches with him, and he wasn't ready for that. He could have a decent short match, and his STF was a pretty badass move. I loved that. I was a big fan of that. Do you remember, it was on a WCW Saturday Night, I believe, and I don't know if it was Kamala. I think it was Uganda, like that generic Kamala. But he came in and just jumped. And he jobbed for Eric Watts. And I remember as a kid, I thought it was Kamala. But it might not have been. Do you know if that was actually him or not?
If it was Kamala, I would remember. It was probably like Uganda, or they had one called the Botswana Beast or something like that. Black guy looked just like him.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, just fat, bald, black guy with a beard. I mean, it's pretty simple premise to try following.
I like when Eric Watts and the STF put down Arn Anderson in the Zubai pants at the gas station. That was awesome.
Oh, that was, I mean, this, WWE, listen, this is what we need. That is exactly it. He's pumping gas. Eric Watts is pumping gas, signs an autograph. Arn Anderson attacks him while he's signing an autograph and being filmed supposedly by a fan. And then he ends up turning the tables and putting Arn Anderson, the STF, on the ground of the gas station. And for no reason at all, cops just happen to be right there and arrest him for whipping his ass. And gosh, that's so great. That was such good television.
Although I didn't hate when he made Arn Anderson submit that one time. I was pissed off about that. Arn Anderson was my guy. So.
Well, Arn Anderson still, like, I am just a few months away, Couture. I'm actually looking at the poster right now. Mattel release, like they have, like, legend sets, okay? Like, they release legend sets. I'm sure you've seen, like, the Von Erichs and all that stuff. Like, well, they almost, like, they kind of, like, discontinued the line, and they put it all on this website called Maddie Collector. And Maddie Collector, the first one they started out, well, first, like, in November, they had the Rockers. And then in January, they had Andre the Giant. And then in April, they're going to have Diamond Dallas Page. And then after that, King Kong Bundy, like in like June or something. But eventually, they're going to have Arn Anderson. And then like 2 months later, they're going to have Tully Blanchard, which that's going to be a great figure. And then like 2 months after that, at the end of the year, they're going to have Miss Elizabeth.
Hmm.
And that is like Tully Blanchard, Arn Anderson, I'm so stoked for. I looked everywhere for the Von Erich figures. I couldn't find them anywhere, and now they're everywhere. So I'm just – but the thing is, it, like, depresses me seeing so many, like, awesome Texas Tornado figures. It's like, come on, people, buy these. Why would you not want them? They're awesome. But little kids, they don't care. You know what I mean? They don't
– Yeah.
They don't give a shit. Like, it's the same
it's
way with –
It's a good
time
for me to get my nephew into watching wrestling.
Yeah, you should.
You're getting that
you should. Oh, that'd be great. Because, like, there's a figure that literally is at Walmart that's discounted. I already have it. But discounted. It's Paul Orndorff. He comes with full robe. It looks awesome. And it's, like, discounted for, like, $4. And it's been sitting there for, like, 2 months. But, like, come on. Who would not want this for $4? This is also Mr. Wonderful you know, toy. It actually says on my kazaz, like, Mr. Number Wonderful. It's like, gosh, how would you not want this?
I watched today. Have you seen this week's Are You Serious on for WWE?
I have not seen it. I haven't seen the last 2 weeks, I don't think.
Oh. This week they were clowning on, they had the bit with Paul Orndorff in the dressing room going crazy and Gary Spivey comes in.
Oh, God. Yeah, I can't wait to watch that. I will watch that.
I was shocked to realize that Gary Spivey was a real person with this psychic network. It's like
a
real thing.
No,
look at his head. I will take somebody like that seriously. He looks like he wears a styrofoam golf ball on his head or something. I don't know. But, yeah, and then Paul Orndorff came back around, and they had that fucking awesome music that was just it was awesome, but it was irritating as hell. And then Johnny B. Badd broke his mirror, and then he, like, flipped out or something. I don't know.
Hey, what was your favorite thing you've ever seen live? What's, like, the best thing you've ever seen live?
Oh. Match-wise, I was we did a show on this on Over the Top Radio a couple weeks ago, but best thing I saw live was probably Ric Flair and Ricky Steamboat in New Orleans 2 out of 3 falls at the Clash of the Champions.
Oh, that sounds great.
Yeah, I was there for that. I was there for the 2001 Royal Rumble. We actually, here's a good clue for people, like if you're in a place that would get like a pay-per-view or something, you need to make friends with like all the vendors, like the soft drink vendors and stuff like that, because they get free tickets to everything, like all the sporting events. And so it was a friend of my cousin's family, he was like one of those vendors, and he got free tickets to stuff and said, could you get some tickets to the Royal Rumble in New Orleans? And I said, sure. And so we got the tickets, and then we looked at them, and then kind of did a double take and looked at them again because it was in the luxury suite. So we got to sit in the luxury suite to watch that pay-per-view.
Oh, that'd be so great.
And we got free beer and pizza all night.
That sounds like a good time.
Yeah, it was. It was a 2001 Royal Rumble. It was one with Benoit and Jericho in a ladder match, and I think Drew Carey was there.
And kind of the segue in, I saw Drew Carey get inducted to the WWE Hall of Fame. So that was good.
Was that last year or the year before last?
It was last year, I think.
Because they had the big controversy with TV Guide.
There was what?
Remember the controversy with TV Guide? They said he's going into a pro wrestling Hall of Fame, and WWE contacted him and said, we're not a wrestling company, we're an entertainment company.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that. That's stuff like that's so ridiculous. I'll never forget. This is kind of a disgusting story, but I'll tell it anyways because I don't care. All right. Bob Uecker, the Arizona, Phoenix, Arizona, WrestleMania 26. The night before, I ate at a place called Whataburger, and it made me sicker than shit. So, like, Bob Uecker's about to come out, and I remember I'm sitting there on the toilet, like, during his induction, and I'm, like, sitting there freaking shitting my guts out and laughing my ass off at the same time because he was so funny, and it was so horrible. It was like, a horrible experience just because, like, I was just hoping no one else would, like, hear me in there just because it was disgusting, number one, and I was laughing my ass off because it was, like, over the loudspeaker. So I, like, missed almost his whole induction because of stupid Whataburger, so.
You
live in Texas, so I'm sure you know exactly what Whataburger is.
There's a Whataburger about 2 miles from here.
We don't have those locally at all, so we're like, yeah, we'll try it out, you know, because In-N-Out Burger is the place to go if you're traveling anywhere, like on the West Coast.
And what was your favorite live experience?
Mine was at that Phoenix WrestleMania. It was seeing Shawn Michaels. I have a series of them. Like, I saw Shawn Michaels' last match, and when he was, like, waving to the crowd, and that match in general was so great. And, like, Shawn Michaels is my favorite wrestler, so it's kind of fitting that I actually got to see his last match. And then, not even an event, but I got to meet Shawn Michaels at, like, a like last year there was like a World of Wheels or something, some sort of car show, and Shawn Michaels is there signing autographs. So I got to meet him there. I was really happy about that, so that was cool.
Did you go to Money in the Bank last year?
No, that was right after I got married. It was this year.
It was last year,
sorry. Yeah, that was Money in the Bank. Like, I got married on the 9th of July, and then I was in Vegas for my honeymoon until the Saturday before Money in the Bank, so we just ordered it on that Sunday. Like, you know, it was like, it was pretty cool, though, because I had a bunch of friends over, and it was fun.
Yeah.
Watching that show, but, oh, what a live show that was.
That was like one of those that's up where with the, I guess the Canadian Stampede would be a bit good example of, like, what it was like. You know, just with the crowd and stuff.
Yeah, I was such a huge fan of that show in general. Like, I regret not going because, you know, obviously. But just at that time, WWE, I expected nothing coming from that show. Before that, all that happened. And then, obviously, I wasn't, you know, I was getting ready to get married. So I wasn't, you know, thinking about, oh, I'm going to a wrestling show. Because, like, everyday life kind of goes away for a little while when, you know, you're especially planning that stuff. So, no, I didn't get to go to that. But I did get to see it with my good friends, so it was awesome. It was a really fun time. I was glad to see it.
Are you going to a WrestleMania party this year?
I am actually having a WrestleMania party this year.
Oh, you are?
Yeah, I'm having probably 10 to 12 people over here or something like that. We did it. Like, the last 2 years, I've gone to WrestleMania, and I was like, yeah, I'm going to go this year for sure in Miami. But then I looked at the prices, and Rachel and I, we wanted to buy a house. So, you know, obviously we made the smarter decision of the two, you know, to get a house as opposed to going to WrestleMania. And,
yeah.
You know, I'm not, especially with...
You got other people to think about now.
Yeah, exactly. And it's just... It's not just myself anymore. So, you know, there's things you gotta take into consideration. And to be honest, I'm not even like really heartbroken over it because it's just, it's not really my scene. I don't drink, you know, and I'm more of a like homebody type person anyway. So, I like, you know, don't get me wrong, I love going to live shows. It's just, we watch the Royal Rumble, you know, but it's just. I don't know, it's not something that I'm super interested in, like this year especially, because, you know, I'll have a fun experience watching it on pay-per-view. And to be honest, like, I love, like, that's a fun thing to do is watching WrestleMania on pay-per-view. You know, you get the commentary, because, like, it's not the same watching it again after you were there live. So it's a different, unique experience. I'm really excited about it. And I get to watch it with, you know, a few of my friends, like, you know, some of my friends are going there live, but, you know, some of my friends aren't, and it's great because we get to order it here, watch it on TV, and you know, it'll be a good time. Order some pizzas or something.
Well, I was gonna say if you were up for it, maybe since you're watching, I'll be watching it. If maybe you want to do a post show after.
Yeah, post show should be great.
Like maybe an hour or so after it goes off the air. Because Craig and Ned are gonna be there, so can't do it with them. So.
Great. Yeah, I get to be your second best here, Couture. I really appreciate that. You're like, yeah, Craig can't do it, and Ed can't do it, and Bob and Jim can't do it, but yay, man, I guess you could be number five. I guess you could do it, asshole. No, I'm just joking. I know much better than Craig and Ed. Ed can barely talk, and Craig doesn't remember anybody's name. So I guess...
Hey, whenever you bought those action figures, did you look at the receipt to make sure it didn't say, like, Triple H got credited for the purchase?
Back in, like, 1999, the WWE figures used to do that all the time. That was kind of, like, a running joke.
Yeah, it was in, like, Death of WCW. There was a thing about that in there.
Like that's what I was just going to mention, because they talked about it in that book too, and that's what I thought was so funny, because we would always notice that on those things, but it was always so random, because like you'd buy one, like say I bought Billy Kidman or something like that, it would say Billy Kidman. But then another time I would buy Billy Kidman and it would say like Sting. So it's just like depending on like the way that they were, because maybe some series were just messed up or they were just done that way on purpose to make money. Like, cause there's always that rumor that every time WCW sold a Hulk Hogan shirt, they lost money. So, I mean, isn't that crazy to think about? Why would you do it? Why would you sell his shirts? Did I ever tell you the story about how I ordered some WCW shirts and they got stolen out of my mailbox?
Uh-uh.
All right, so WCW had a sale on their shirts. It was like probably 1999, probably 99. And they had a sale on their shirts. They were $5 for some older shirts. One of them was the NWO shirt. Like, I'm sure my buddy Jerry's listening, and he'll remember this shirt. It was a white shirt with black letters, and I thought it was awesome. And it was also like the Raven Ank shirt. Like, it had the Ank on it. I had that shirt too. Like, that shirt I ordered. I had a DDP. It just said Bang on it. There's just a couple other shirts with it, and I ordered it. And this neighbor girl, this white trash neighbor girl, got off the bus. She was like probably, I don't know, 13 or 14, and saw it hanging out of our mailbox. I mean, this is just how she explained it after, you know. I think my dad called the cops or something, but what ended up happening was like she lived in the trailer park. Like, there was like I lived on this road called Imperial, and you'd go down the way a little bit, and there was like this major road, it was called Route 6, and then you'd go past it a little bit, and there was a trailer park there, and she lived in that trailer park, and someone said that she had stolen, and she was bragging about it, and I like drove through that trailer park. And I saw, like, some of the shirts all torn up. They just, like, cut them up outside, like, the trailers. Like, just, like, ripped them up for no reason. Just stole them. So I called WCW back, or my, like, I can't remember what stepmom did. It was like, you know, we never got those. Someone stole them from us. You need to send them out again. So that WCW, to their credit, sent those shirts back out again. One of the shirts that I had ordered, they didn't have anymore, which kind of bummed me out. I think it was a Steiner Brothers shirt. So they sent me something else. They said it was like a mystery shirt. I'm sure it was stupid. It's probably a big, sexy Kevin Nash shirt or something like that. I was like, oh, God, why did you give me that? But, yeah, like, I'll never forget that just because those are like my – because ordering a wrestling shirt to me – because wrestling, I swear – wrestling at that time could get you pussy. It really could, because wrestling was so hot at the time. 98.
So you know how many college parties we had, like, for pay-per-views and stuff? We had.
Oh, I'm sure. I'm sure there was. Yeah, there was just. It was just hilarious because, like, it was cool. Like, wearing it. Like, now, I mean, I don't care. I'm married. I don't give a shit. So I'll still wear a wrestling shirt. Like, I have my Cody Rhodes shirt and stuff, and like some. Like, my wife buys me shirts all the time. But, like, you know, but just wearing a wrestling shirt sometimes could be, like, pretty not cool. You know, just.
I got laid a couple times in college. I got laid a couple times in college thanks to the NWO.
Yes, the NWO. Yeah, it was, you were too sweet by wearing those NWO shirts because they were so cool. And, I mean, I was in high school at the time, and it was so great because. I mean, you'd see so many of those shirts. And I never, ever, my friend Jerry's the same exact way, we wouldn't wear Wolfpack colors because the Wolfpack was stupid, and we were black and white forever. We always rooted for the black and white. We never liked the Wolfpack because we thought they were a bunch of freaking assholes. We never rooted for Kevin Nash. We never rooted for Conan. And I hated Conan. And because I remember when it was starting to break down, like, on the two sides, and I was bummed out because I love Randy Savage. I was like, no, why are you going with him? And then Macho Man just, like, disappeared, like, right away anyways. So it was just, like, originally it was, like, Kurt Hennig and Conan, but Kurt Hennig eventually turned and went with the black and white, and Kevin Nash, and who else was with them, like, at that point?
Sting and Luger?
Yeah, but... I remember Sting and Luger with them, but wasn't someone else like with them before Sting and Luger? Because Luger
I think it was
going
just
first.
Like Savage and Conan and Nash and just Kurt Hennig and Rick Rude for that real short time until they went heel. So
I remember at the mall they used to sell these like NWO shirts, and they would have like all the members, but they used to add such random people. Like there was one that had Bret Hart in it for no reason at all. Like, and he was never really with the NWO, you know, permanently, but he was on there. And I used to always buy those shirts from like WWF actually sold a shirt that said Goldberg sucks on the front, and on the back it said Austin rules. And it was just one of those like licensed shirts. And I remember thinking at the time, like, whoa, this is so cool, you know, because I don't know. I was a geek. I still am, but I was more of a geek then. But, like, just thinking, like, whoa, they're – anytime they mentioned each other, did you ever, like, really enjoy that?
Whenever they did what?
When they would mention the other program.
I didn't
care. Did you like the war aspect of it?
I liked it. It was fine. I mean, I liked it better when, like, people would basically do stuff like – you know, the DX invasion and stuff like that. And I didn't really understand all the comments until, you know, I started getting a little bit smarter, like in 96 and stuff like that. So I understood what they were talking about most of the time. So.
Oh, I was always reading, like back then I was reading like, not even necessarily the dirt sheets. I was reading like the internet rumors, and they were always so shitty, you know,
scoops,
like
wrestling.com or something like that.
Yeah. WrestleZone and shit. And I would always go and, like, read it, like, oh, my God. You know, I heard that you know, Marcus Bagwell might be coming back tonight from his neck injury. And it's like, who gives a shit, you know? But I was excited about it. You know, or, like, I remember there's this whole NWO, like, series of, like, trading cards that I had. And I tried collecting every single one of those cards, and it was just like the NWO thing. But every single box or like pack of cards was exactly the same, and I could still remember exactly what five cards were in there. It was the Giant, it was Scott Norton, it was two Hulk Hogans, and one Kevin Nash. Every single, like, and there was, you know, I knew there was a Scott Hall out there. There had to be because it was on the back of the box. They said there were. So I still have some of them cards somewhere.
Hmm.
I'm sure I probably have 400 Hogans because I got two of them in every single pack. I probably bought them all the time. So I don't know. That was just awesome.
Hey, did you get a Greg's list of the Battle Bowl thing?
Yes, but my laptop died.
Right,
when he came to me, it died.
Okay,
so,
I was wondering.
Yeah, he was, that is on the board, that is, gosh, I know his board name. I'm trying to think of it.
I hate these real names. It's like Brent Crimm and Collins, Edge, Adam Copeland.
there's a friend of mine named Jorge. I'd actually, like, next week's show, I don't know when we're going to be able to do it because I'll be in Ohio. So I'm going to the Strikeforce Ronda Rousey versus Misha Tate fight live. And my friend Jorge, we're going to be staying down there with him. But he used to always go up to wrestlers and call them by their real names and just to get a reaction out of them. And I swear they just want to kill him every single time. And
yeah, that's just irritating. It's embarrassing to be around people like that.
Oh, it's humiliating is what it is. It's horrible. And we yelled at him for it all the time. And he's like, he brought up the whole it's not my fault thing with Gene Snitsky, the Kane. He's like, come on, Glenn, have a sense of humor. And, oh, God. This is so terrible.
Never tell you
so terrible.
About the time I gave Lex Luger half of my Subway sandwich.
No, you did not.
This was,
why would you give him only half? I would give him the whole thing. That's Luger. He's one of my favorites ever. I just want to watch him eat it
in
his hand.
This was in Monroe, Louisiana, and Nitro was there. I think this is maybe like 97 or something. And a friend of mine, he's working at one of those little bitty airports. And so I was over there hanging out with him, and that's where the wrestlers were coming in, one of these small airports. And so it was like Sting and Luger and the Steiners showing up, and it just got me a Subway, and I got to meet all those guys, and Luger's talking about how hungry he is, and you know how somebody's saying, man, I'm starving, when you like got a big plate of food there so they want some of it?
Yeah.
And I said, well, you want half of this? Sure, I'll take half of it. So, Lex Luger ate my Subway.
God! Contrary, we're going to express how jealous I am right now. Like, I love Lex Luger. He's so great. Oh, man. I'm so ungodly jealous of that. God, that's so freaking awesome. I don't have any claims to fame like that. My buddy Jason and I, for my second show, we went and picked up Marty Jannetty, and we got to drive in a car with him for an hour, and that was awesome.
Good thing you didn't get pulled over.
No. All right, here's some awesome Marty Jannetty stories. He asked the person at the hotel where he could get a good prostitute, and he's like, the guy at the hotel's like, that's nothing to joke about. And, like, I was laughing my ass off because it's funny, you know. God, don't be so uptight, stupid hotel guy. And then he definitely did bring a prostitute to the show. And he was, like, high on blow, I think, because he was, like, all tired. And all of a sudden, by the time he got to the show, he was, like, all freaking, like, I don't know, man. He was definitely on something. He was not the same guy that was in the car a couple hours before.
I got the Great Motors autograph one time. Except I didn't get it like a written autograph. He just like licked my ticket stub after he had spit the mist. So I got like a red ticket stub.
That is awesome. Gosh, man, that's why I collect wrestling toys, because it's like I like collectibles like that. And I have like a giant in my game room where I like play like my PlayStation and stuff. That's where I have, like, all the toys hanging up and stuff. And I have, like, some, you know, I'm an Angels fan, too, so I have some Angels stuff in here in my aquarium and all that shit. And in the, right above my TV, I have an NWO Sold Out poster from the original Sold Out, like, you know, signed by Hall and Nash. And I keep telling my buddy that I will give him that poster if he could get me, like, an old 1991 WCW poster. So I just want to replace that so badly, because, I mean, it's awesome, but I would rather have, like, there's, like, a poster on eBay. It's, like, the Sting versus Luger Super Brawl poster. And then I also saw the, like, Halloween Havoc 91 poster with Luger and Ron Simmons. So I don't know. It's all a bunch of cool stuff. But
real quick, so, we okay, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, what were we saying?
I would say, we got a phone call I'm going to take real quick.
Oh, go ahead. Yeah, let's do that before we go.
Area code 631, who's this?
Hey, guys, it's Sky Kid, a.k.a. Greg.
Sky Kid. Sky Kid, that is your board name. I knew it. I'm sorry.
That's okay. I have my list ready of the random Battle Bowl drawer I did a couple of days ago.
Go ahead.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Okay. All right, here are my matches. I drew. The first match I have is Mr. Hughes and Tracy Smothers against Todd Champion and Firebreaker Chip.
Who do you go with?
I would go with Mr. Hughes and Smothers.
Yeah, Mr. Hughes was getting a pretty big push with Vader as a team at that time, and he was the world champion's bodyguard, so it makes sense.
Yes.
Okay, go ahead.
What's next? I think we lost him.
Did we lose him?
I believe we did. That's the only match we're going to know.
Is he still there? Is he still there?
That is so funny. He's like, you know what? That's all I wanted to share today. So go, Mr. Hughes. So the winner of that battle bowl is Mr. Hughes. That could build up his program with Lex Luger.
So in the end, we had a two-man battle royal. We had Mr. Hughes against Tracy Smothers.
Yeah, but personally, I would rather book Tracy Smothers than win. Tracy Smothers is awesome. That would be so great. That's the main. All right, here we are, ladies and gentlemen, the main event of Battle Bowl. Mr. Hughes versus Tracy Smothers. Battle Royal rules. And they're just sitting there like in the corner trying to push each other over. That would
worth,
be so great.
That'd be worth $30.
Oh, he is still there.
That's the whole show. Hey, where did you go?
Do you want me to read off the rest of the card I have?
Can you hear where us? Did you go, though? Didn't you hear us talking?
Yeah, I heard you talk.
Why didn't you respond? We were asking you to read the next one. That's what we were laughing about. It's like that's where we were wondering where you went.
Go ahead and read the rest of them. Go ahead and read the rest of them.
What the heck?
Something pissy's going on here.
This is the greatest show ever.
Hold on. Let me put him on hold.
Okay.
I don't know.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, can you hear us?
Yeah, we can hear you now.
Okay. Go ahead.
Okay,
go ahead.
Rest
of your card.
Yeah. We only got the first one. So far, the Battle Royal only has two people in it. All right. All right, everybody. This has been a great show. So the winner of Battle Bowl is Tracy Smothers. So that's the whole card? Like, the whole card?
I can't see his name dropped off the thing. Call back in.
Yes. All right.
Okay,
hold
on.
So what was the whole? What was the match? What was
Sky
the match
Kid,
that
you
there? Had? Contreras, do you remember what the match was? The only match on the card?
Mr. Hughes, Tracy Smothers against the Patriots.
Sorry, so the Patriots lost.
if you can hear me, go ahead and give us the rest of your magic.
Okay, Jus Schweiger and Tom Zink.
Okay.
Against Jimmy Garvin and Arn Anderson.
That was a good match.
Yeah, it would be.
Sorry about that, guys. I don't know what happened. Dustin and Marcus Bagwell against DDP and Michael Hayes.
Okay.
Arankian Man and Ron Simmons against Ricky Morton and Ricky Steamboat.
Did you just say Arankian Man? It's a Raptor Man.
Whatever. I saw that skit. I saw that Are You Serious skit today. That was great.
All right, now what else do we have?
Scott Steiner and Tommy Rich against Johnny B. Badd and Buddy Lee Parker.
That could be fun.
Yeah, I'd have Scott Steiner go over.
Oh, this is a hell of a match right here. Bill Kazmaier and Lex Luger against Pan News and Brian Pillman.
That would be a good match. Just because Luger and Pillman could carry the whole match.
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead.
All right, man. I don't want to do this anymore. Contreras, are you still there?
Yes, I'm still here. And he dropped off again. This is more irritating because I really want to hear what the rest of his matches are.
I thought it was better when we just found out that it was the Patriots versus versus Tracy Smothers and Mr. Hughes. Hey, you know what? Let's go ahead and book the other side of the coin. Maybe it could be that, and the Patriots could win. We could have Cobb Champion win. And that's just a whole show. Here's how it would go, okay? They come out, they make their entrances, and then, Mr. Hughes and Tommy Rich, they win. They win the match. And then the
Hot Champion and Firebreaker Tripp, they just leave the ring, and then those two just wrestle in a battle royal. One of them wins. Fireworks go off. Thank you, everybody, for buying Battle Bowl. See, that's all we needed, really. That's all we needed for that show. What a great show that would have been.
Yeah, all the, at the end there, all the fans would be dressed like chairs. That's the only people. Nobody would have been there. Okay, he's back on the line now. Sky Kid, are you there? Hello, Sky Kid.
Does Sky Kid live in, like, the depths of hell? Where the hell is he trying to call from?
My phone has only one bar.
Oh, okay. Well,
yeah,
on right. The rest of your matches.
Yeah. Night Stalker and Bobby Eaton, Rick Steiner against Van Hammer, Abdullah and Larry Zbyszko against Austin and Rude.
Oh, that sounds good.
Steve Armstrong and Terry Taylor against Big Josh and Elegante.
Ugh. Hang on,
and,
that Big Josh Elegante team teams up again. Cool. They're meant to
and
be.
And the last one is Cactus Jack and Mike Graham against Sting and Vader.
Somebody in that group does not belong.
Yep. Cactus Jack, you know. All right, so Greg, who would you have win the whole thing?
The whole thing, I would probably give it to Rude.
Rick Rude, yeah, that's what we thought too.
Yeah.
It would have been great. Rude was great in that era. Like,
oh, when he came
I wanted to see Luger turn babyface then, because he was leaving anyway, so it doesn't matter.
Well, it was right after they turned on Sting, so it was kind of be weird to turn him after that.
That was like weeks later, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Okay. I forgot about that. Yeah, because what was that? Like, what was the relationship after he turned with him and Sting? Was there like just like a gray area where they just didn't talk to each other, or what happened?
Yeah, they just didn't have any interaction. You know, like, I think like maybe once it was brought up in an interview about Luger's new attitude, and Sting just kind of, he didn't say much about it. But you knew eventually he was going to end up being him and Sting at some point.
That's crazy. That is crazy.
Yeah.
That's awesome, though. All right, everybody, it's getting pretty late. So we'll be back to the show some point next week, I'm sure. Maybe Sunday. I might be coming back Sunday. I will let you know, Contrary. It'll be for sure be back soon. Contrary and I will think up like a wacky thing to talk about, or we will finally go back to that 1998 WCW that we've been avoiding like the plague.
Ugh.
So we will get back there soon. So thanks everybody for listening. Thank you, Contrary, of course, for being a great co-host. And thank you, Sky Kid, for calling in. So
you're welcome.
We will talk to everybody. Yeah. We will talk to everybody next week. And thanks for listening. All right, bye.